Welcome into the Nuts. I'm Amal Shaw. That is Mike Palm. Terrific day on tap. We're going to have Stanford Steve join us in about 40 minutes. We're going to break down the draft with him. Also get the latest in terms of the sports world and his perspective. But Mike, let's start with the NFL draft. We're seeing the Alabama Crimson Tide could have 5.5 guys over going in the first round. I still don't believe they're going to get 6 in there. Nobody's still the 2001 Miami Hurricanes. We'll see if they can exceed that number.
Well, I don't think it'll be a push, Amal. I think it'll go over or under. How many do you think are a certainty? You think the wide receivers, Smith and Waddle, are a certainty?
I'll give you 4 certainties.
Okay.
Najee Harris, Mac Jones, Jalen Waddle, and of course, Devontae Smith. And then I think Christian Barrymore and Patrick Surtain, I forgot about. Yeah. Barrymore to me and Najee Harris are the 2 wild cards, but I think Harris gets in there late in the first round.
So, but you don't think Barrymore gets in there in the first round?
I don't know. It depends. I mean, I think he's very solid. I don't know if he's quite as good as some of the Alabama previous defensive linemen that they've had in the past. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens there.
How about as a wild card, the offensive linemen? They're known for their offensive linemen like Leatherwood. Do they have any shot at getting in this first round?
Not if you want to waste a first round pick. I mean, to me, Alex Leatherwood is one of the more overrated players. If you look at the projections they had, he was going to go in the first round. And when you look at Landon Dickerson, he's a center. Remember, he's coming off an injury, missed the national title game, so I think that could impact him a little bit. That's one thing to keep in mind when you're looking at Alabama. But when you look at it, though, the plus, it's a minus price in terms of going over. This has been a historically good football team. They've got an opportunity to match that number. Now, if they were to exceed it, it would be a complete shocker. But based on some of the guys you've listed, 6 seems like, to me, it's going to be 5 or 6 is going to be a solid number there.
Are you interested in taking the plus 155 at 5, under 5.5?
Yeah, I just would out of spite.
Well, you do it out of your love of the U. I mean, you don't want him to tie your school.
I mean, listen, I just, having lived in South Florida, so anywhere I live, like UNLV, I want them to do well here. Any place you've lived, well, you want certain schools to do well. And I know with Manny Diaz being the head coach, Miami's going to be just a consistently good 9-4 program.
Yeah, I think they can finish 3rd in one of the divisions of the ACC.
Exactly. Whether it's the Coastal or what division remains to be seen. But I'm just not a believer in that team long-term, so we'll see what happens there. But Alabama's going to have a prolific draft. What's going to be interesting to see is, can they have as many guys drafted high up as what we saw out of LSU in last year's draft? We saw how prolific LSU was. 14 players drafted, tying the modern-day record, 2003 Ohio State Buckeyes.
Yeah, when we talk to Stanford Steve, we'll talk about that 3rd pick of the 49ers. It was even money both yesterday on Fields and Jones. Fields now moving to the favorite spot here. Jones now moving to the, 125, and now you can get plus 125 on your guy Fields from Ohio State.
What happened? Somebody tweeted out something that all of a sudden changed people's perception. You know what's funny? I was thinking about a lot of these draft props on the way in today. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, a lot of people are betting on speculation and conjecture. I mean, this is no different than listening to the people at Enron and telling you how well their stock is doing.
It's a sheep. It's a 100% sheep bet.
You look at players and you see how they fit into a certain system. Kyle Pitts is a great fit in Atlanta. You combine that with Ridley and Jones and how prolific that offense can be. It makes Matt Ryan a better quarterback overnight. We know Dallas needs to improve their secondary. Patrick Surtain or J.C. Horn are 2 guys that you would look to go there. And Surtain, based on what you think he's going to be, is probably a little bit better rated than J.C. Horn.
Yeah. I had an interesting discussion with Mitch and Paul on Follow the Money. They said, let's not be so convinced that Atlanta is not looking at a quarterback at 4.
So what are you going to do with Matt Ryan? Here's the problem. They didn't do their homework on the salary cap. If you cut Matt Ryan in the next 2 years, you're going to take $20 million hits each year.
I think they're looking at it. Are they going to draft somebody to be ready in a few years?
You
in an Aaron Rodgers type situation in Green Bay.
No, here's why it doesn't work. Jordan Love is a projection who I think they did that to motivate Aaron Rodgers potentially. When you look at it, if you draft a quarterback in the first round, you get 5 years on the rookie deal. That's why you're drafting a quarterback in the first round, so you get that 5th year. You don't have to pay him $40 million. You're paying him on the rookie scale. But if you have a guy that sits behind Matt Ryan for 2 years, now in the 3rd year, he's got to be a bona fide star, because then you're in a situation, do you pick up the 5th year option at $20, $25 million when you've only seen a year to a year and a half's body of work? Do you make that decision based on that?
Yeah, I think you're right, but it was a different, interesting perspective that they had. They're convinced Matt Ryan maybe only has 2 or 3 years left in his career. And so they thought that it's not a certainty that they wouldn't look at a quarterback. I think the draft really starts after 3. I don't know that Atlanta does anything until we know who's taken 3rd by the 49ers.
I would agree with you there. That's going to be critical. But I think if you're Atlanta, when you look at it, your problem is not on offense. The problem has been on defense until they generate a pass rush.
And all they've done is add tools around Matt Ryan. It hasn't gotten them anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's something to pay attention to. Can they upgrade it? The running game needs to be more consistent. This is the Nuts. I'm Amal Shaw. That is Mike Palm. Terrific show on tap today. Stanford Steve is going to join us in about 35 to 40 minutes. We'll get his take on the NFL draft. Also happenings around the sports world, including potentially the NBA in terms of when he thinks LeBron James could get back into the mix and how that impacts the Lakers going forward. But Mike, I want to get into Major League Baseball. I got to give you credit last night. You had a tremendous day on your plays. I know you picked every game on the board, and I think you hit every game on the board.
I didn't hit every game on the board. We had trouble with the first five unders where Ryu got in trouble in the fourth inning there. But
that's right. Gave up a four spot.
The three-unit plays did very well. I just thought that was a great betting opportunity with Burns last night. Why was he a dog to Paddock? And then it gets announced, no Tatis, no Machado. Yeah. And he ended up closing minus 150 first five. But we still got him. He was still at even money for the game.
Yeah.
And here's, I know the Padres bullpen is good, but the Brewers bullpen can match the Padres. That's one of the bullpens that I think, especially with Hader, can compete with them. So there's not a tremendous advantage late. So I thought it was a great betting opportunity. They got out to the 5-0 lead, and again, he gave up no runs.
He was dominant. He gets out of a bases-loaded situation in the fifth inning, did a nice job. Tommy Pham should have scored on a blooper. Right. You know what's interesting? And I text you and Jacob, our producer, that why Tommy Pham was so dumb on the play. It was a blooper to Jackie Bradley Jr., who's a plus-plus defender. But Bradley was going to be able to catch the ball. If the ball is caught with Tommy Pham standing on third base, he's going to be out on the tag up anyway, so just go home. It doesn't make any sense.
That's right.
To me, it didn't make any sense why you would stand there and just wait to see what happens. You're going to be out either way.
It's a halfway play.
Well, yeah. No, it's either you go halfway from between second and third, or you go to third and you just keep going home.
Yep.
It didn't make any sense. And it's amazing to me sometimes people don't have the insight in terms of looking at the situation saying, okay, if I'm standing basically on third base, if he catches, I'm going to be out at second. But give the Brewers credit. They were dominant. Burns has been amazing. 36 strikeouts, no base on
zero
balls.
Walks. Zero.
That is the most amazing stat I've seen in a long time. It's a historical number, sets a record, most strikeouts to start a season without a base on balls.
He does have three hit by pitch, but that's okay because he's willing to go inside.
Yeah.
I think that's important. You'd like to see a little more length out of him, get him through seven innings, but they do have a good bullpen. I think right now, he started the year out. You could have found him at 60-1 for Cy Young. He dropped down after the first start to 25-1, second start 10-1, third start 6-1, currently now at plus 350. He's going to be a favorite with DeGrom right now.
Yeah, I think you look at those two guys. His numbers have been incredible. The only negative I have with him, and it's not really even a negative, is just that he doesn't go long in games. DeGrom takes that ball. You know you're going to get eight innings out of him in terms of what he can do. I'd like to see Burns be able to go a little bit longer. Last night, even through five innings, he was at about 78 pitches.
Yeah, you compare him four starts for Burns. He's got 24 and a third. DeGrom only three starts, and he'll start Friday. They're giving him an extra day rest. He's got 20 and three starts.
Yeah.
Or Bieber, four starts, has 29 and a third innings.
Yeah, that's a great point you make on Bieber, who's been outstanding when you look at the American League. 29 and a third innings pitch for Shane Bieber. 14.73 Ks per nine. What a ridiculous stat. You got to be playing video games to get numbers like that. And then the ERA in the American League, 2.45, not bad at all.
Yeah, whip in the American League under one. Remember, he gives up three runs on opening day in the snowstorm in Detroit and takes that loss. He got in a pitcher's duel with Junis the next game out. You know, let's not forget last year he was a unanimous Cy Young winner over Maeda. And with that staff, I think he has a chance to anchor this great young staff in Cleveland. And we're going to see, you know, some pitchers after their breakout season, two pitchers really had a breakout season, Bauer and Bieber last year. Are they going to be able to come back to those numbers? So far, so good on both of them.
Yeah, Bauer's been dominant for his starts for the Dodgers. Did have a little bit of a rough outing in his last one, but overall has been terrific. Bieber, as you alluded to, has been unbelievable. Let's go to the offensive side. Let's start in the American League. J.D. Martinez has been absolutely off the charts for the Boston Red Sox. I know it's early in the season. We're not even through the first month of the year, but when you look at it, he's fourth in batting average at .375. Oh, by the way, two of the guys that are in front of him are consistent hitters. Xander Bogaerts leading the league at .393. And you might have heard of this guy, Mike Trout, .385. I mean, talk about consistency. But Martinez, 24 hits, leads the league. Six homers, leads the league. And, of course, in terms of runs batted in 20, he has been tremendous.
You know, he and Bogaerts really carrying that team. We talked to Wayne about the Red Sox and their hot start, and he thinks it's too concentrated with three or four guys, and they might be due to fade. Here's what I love about Martinez. He's done it wherever he's gone. Remember, he's in Detroit on a bad team.
Yep.
They trade him to Arizona. He anchors there, and he comes to Boston. There has been no drop in his production wherever they've sent him, whatever division, whatever city, whatever league.
By the way, he's a Miami, Florida guy. I just thought I'd throw it in there for you. I figured you'd say something about him, me being a fan of his, and that's why I put him in the notes. I think he's unbelievable as a hitter. You look at him. This guy you pencil in if you're Boston. 3 to 310, 30 homers, 100 RBI. When you can get that consistency out of your three or four hole, it's unbelievable, and especially when you look at losing a player like Mookie Betts on that roster.
Yeah, the big thing is he's got the power, but he hits for average, too. He's going to be a career 315 hitter, probably, yeah, and give you 30 to 40 home runs every year.
Let's go to the National League, and a player that you and I are both high on, Ronald Acuna for the Atlanta Braves, has been off the charts already for this team. 419 batting average. I get we're early in the season, but still incredibly impressive what he's been able to do. Leads the league in hits right now with 26. Just getting it done at all aspects of the plate in terms of offensively.
Yeah, 7 home runs. You think about this, he's a leadoff hitter, right?
Yeah.
Which, Snicker, I like it. You get him more at bats during the game. You have enough protection behind him, right? That you don't want to pitch to Freeman. You don't want to put him on. You don't want to pitch to Freeman. Ozuna's got a lot of pop in the bat. And I just think with Acuna, you've got to try to just throw breaking stuff to him and keep him down, because he's going to turn around a lot of fastballs, you know? He's got such power, and the kid has such potential. I know they've got to get him where he's a full effort, max effort guy, 150 games a year, where he's chasing down all the fly balls and full effort in the field, but his talent is just off the charts.
Well, you made two great points, which you're already seen so far this year. 7 home runs, leads the league, and then runs scored. 21 runs scored from that leadoff position. Second is Sterling Marte at just 15. That gives you an idea how productive he is, not only in terms of getting on base, but getting around the bases.
He puts so much pressure on the opposing pitcher. You've got to get 8 and 9 out, okay? If you let 8 or 9 get on and then he comes up with people on base, there's going to be a big crooked number inning. I can tell you that right now.
You're absolutely right. I love this Braves team. I've always thought Freddie Freeman, you mentioned the Braves, you talked about Freeman. I've always thought he's one of the most unheralded or underrated top 5, top 7 players in baseball. Not only great offensively, but defensively as well. His glove work at first base is tremendous.
And leadership ability, right? Yeah. A great clubhouse guy as well.
Yeah, he's been tremendous for this Atlanta Braves team. I think this is a team that's going to be a contender. I know you liked Washington to win this division. Are you still on the Nationals in terms of winning this division?
I'm worried about the Nationals winning 87 games, right? You know, I bet the over on the win total, 85 and a half, 86 games they've got to win. A slow start here. They've got to get the pitching back. Interesting start for Scherzer tonight, right? Yeah. I think they're going to need him. He was much better after giving up the home runs in the first two starts in his last start against Arizona, so that'd be important. They need production out of Korber. They need these guys. Joe Ross is going to have to be a number 5 at some point.
But you know what? He's a really good number 5.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to compare him to other number 5s, yeah, I think he's far superior to a lot of other ones out there.
Because they're not going to score as many runs as they have in the past. I think they've upgraded the bullpen. So it's wide open. Philadelphia's played pretty well. I mean, I think you still have to tip your cap to Atlanta. They should be the favorite, but a small favorite in that division because there's probably 4 teams that are viable.
You mentioned the Braves there being the favorites potentially to win that division. Right now, when you look at the current odds, Mets minus 112, Braves plus 180, Phillies at 5-1, and Nationals 12-1. One other thing I want to throw in there, Acuna plus 320 to win the National League MVP. I think he's a great bet at this point in time based on the numbers he's been able to put up. And I think the Dodgers are going to have too many guys.
They'll split the votes.
It's exactly right.
Yeah, I think 320 is an attractive price right now, and he's gotten off to a great start. Here's the thing about the Phillies at 5-1, right? I think when you go to the top two with Nola and Wheeler, can both be very dominant pitchers that could carry a team right through the summer here. So I don't count the Phillies out as well. This might be the most wide open race of any division. Probably is.
It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. We know that race in the National League West is going to be one sided, but. You mentioned Scherzer real quickly before we go to behind the bets here. Let's get to this game very quickly. You've got Max Scherzer pitching. This is going to be a 4:05 Eastern start time, 1:05 on the West Coast. Max Scherzer versus Carlos Martinez. Max has been tremendous this year for this Washington Nationals team. Comes in with an 0-1 record, but again, 19 innings pitched, 2.37 ERA. Carlos Martinez continues to struggle.
He really does.
Yeah.
I mean, he's almost a bet against right now in this spot, right? He's like a mad bum in this spot. He's got
kind of like Mad Bum's high velocity. His ERA is 7.8.
Yeah, it has. And he struggled from where he was. They tried him, you know, as a closer for a while and coming out of the bullpen, tried to get 2 innings out of him. So it's a spot today. I'm still taking a little bit of a wait-and-see approach on Scherzer. I'm concerned with the number of home runs. I know he beat the Diamondbacks. He pitched very well, but that's the Diamondbacks, right? So let's see him against a lineup like the Cardinals that can really pop the ball.
Yeah, it's going to be something to take a look at how well they do in this one. Right now, when you look at this number, the Washington Nationals minus 167, Cards plus 138, total of 7.5, shaded slightly to the over at minus 112. First 5 total is highly shaded to the over at minus 137 on 3.5 there. Really no interest in this play for me because of the lack of consistency with this Washington offense.
I'm a unders player here, but I would not play this game under because of Martinez.
Yeah, I'm with you.
This, with Scherzer's propensity early to give up the home runs, And with Martinez here, I'd look over 7.5, even in a National League park.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I think Martinez could get in some serious trouble here. If you like the Nats, I like the run line here, minus a run and a half, plus 133. Let's go behind the bets right now, Mike. I'm going to start with my play here first today. I like the over 8.5 in this Angels game between the Rangers and the Angels in Anaheim. You've got one of your favorite pitchers, Mike Foltynewicz, on the mound. He comes in with a nice, healthy ERA of 5.63. He's been tremendously bad. I mean, when you look at it, including spring training, three of his last four starts, he's given up at least four runs. I think that could be a problem against this Angels offense.
Here's the thing about Foltynewicz, right? He was an all-star 3 years ago.
Yeah.
2 years ago, you started to see the fade. He lost 5-6 miles an hour off the fastball. That's very significant, right?
Of course, yeah.
You have to learn to become a different pitcher if you lose 5 miles off your fastball. It took Keuchel a while to figure it out, right?
Yeah.
When he lost the velocity. Then he only had the one start last year, and he gave up a ton of runs, and they sent him down. Now they reclaimed him. Texas signed him to a one-year deal. Thought maybe they can get the velocity back. We still haven't seen him prove anything yet, right? I mean, he has not done anything in 3 years now. So, I mean, very hard to back him in this spot.
You're absolutely right. On this game itself, the Angels are minus 180, plus 150 on the Rangers. The total has now shifted to 9. It was at 8.5. The over still slightly the favorite at minus 114. On the flip side, you got Quintana on the mound, Mike. He's given up 15 runs in his last 10 innings pitch. He struggled. And that's the other issue. 9 base on balls during that stretch and 17 hits. That includes a spring training start, but he's been highly inconsistent.
Yeah, we looked at what he bounced back, right? Yeah. And the change. It's tough for pitchers going from the National League, the American. Now, I know he pitched in the American League, but that transition year is difficult. It's different pitching there. It's different pitching in certain ballparks. It's different pitching against a non-DH. And so it was an up-and-down year. And that's one of the question marks in the Angels' rotation was, could Quintana possibly be a leader? I mean, at his peak, he's probably the ace of the staff. You could argue he's better than Bundy when he's been in top form. I know you like this game because you were able to get the 8.5. That was a key number for you.
Yeah, it was. I would have taken over 9, though. I thought this number should have been 9 to begin with. Day game, ball tends to carry better in Southern California. We see that at Petco. We see that at Chavez Ravine. So big difference in terms of that, and that's why you see this number having gone up to 9. This game, 4:07 Eastern, 1:07 Pacific time, and I've got a play going on right now between the Orioles and the Marlins under 7.5. I hope this doesn't turn out to be like the Marlins and the Rays game where it was 0-0 through about 7, and they somehow managed to put up 10 runs in the final 2-3 innings of that one.
So far, so good. You're through 3.5.
But yeah, but unlike you, they don't pay me for tickets after 5 innings.
Well, maybe. I mean, what was the first 5? 4? But you've gotten 4?
I think it was 3.5 or 4. I don't even remember. But yeah. You know what happened was, I was going to take the first 5, and then I saw the game last night in Boston. I was like, the game stayed under, but the first 5 didn't stay under.
Yeah,
so I said,
I'm going
back to my situation. But that beat me in the Islanders game last night, right?
Second period.
The first period under hits that you had, and then the game goes over.
Yeah. So for my behind the bets, I'm going to turn to Liga today in Spain with Real Madrid. In their last 15 games, they've given up 1 or 0 goals, right? They're coming off 2 clean sheets, which included a masterful second leg performance against Liverpool. When Liverpool was down 3-1 going in, you know they needed to open it up and score, and they were able to shut them out in Anfield. The second thing that I think is a big factor here is this: teams that wanted to join this European Super League have been tremendously distracted, right? We saw Chelsea. And their manager Tuchel talk about, we weren't able to answer any questions. They weren't going to let the bus into Stamford yesterday to protest them until they had to say, hey, we're withdrawing. Then the fans let them in. The chief architect of this league is Florentino Perez, right? The president of Real Madrid. He's being villainized the most in the media. That's a tremendous distraction. And then Cadiz in their last 6 matches has only given up goals in 3 of the games as well. I like this under 2.5 at even money.
And if you look at the entirety of the season, both of these teams, Cadiz in terms of the games they've played, and of course Real Madrid, Cadiz 12 of 31 games have been only over that number to 3. So think about that. 19 games have stayed under. Real Madrid, similar numbers. 13 games have gone over the total. So out of 62 games played, both of these teams have only had 40% of their games go over the number. So if you're just based on a percentage of the math, it points to playing under 2.5 here.
Yeah, and Ramos still out, obviously. It's a factor for the scoring there. But he hasn't missed a penalty kick in like 25 years. So
yeah, but you also miss him on the back line there. That's another thing. But you're right. Ramos out with COVID. And this is a team, though, I think you bring up an excellent point in terms of the turmoil surrounding the Super League. And particularly with Real Madrid being the catalyst for this, how does this impact this team going forward? Now, remember, they have an opportunity to win La Liga. Great opportunity. They're right there with Atletico. Yeah, so something to pay attention to, but I'm with you. I think it's going to be tough for Cadiz to get on the score sheet today.
Yeah, I look for this game as it's either 0-0 or 1-0. We saw Real Madrid play the scoreless draw on Sunday. I think they're really, you know, they need 3 points here, and they should be able to beat Cadiz. But I don't, you know, I think it's to lose this game, it's going to be 3-0, and I don't see Real scoring 3 goals.
Yeah, probably not likely unless they get off to a fast start in this one. That's the one thing is in soccer, unlike other sports where you can make up the scoring, it seems like once a game opens up, it does the same thing in soccer as you get later in the game. But I think in this situation, it'll be difficult for Cadiz to get on the board.
We've seen that also in the games where Real scored multiple goals. They were scoreless in the first half, which is important if you're betting these games because you create opportunity. You get scoreless at halftime here, you're going to get a plus price on over 1.5, and then you have the 2 as the middle, and getting it at even money, you can't lose. You can lock in a winner and have the middle available.
Yeah, absolutely. Something that really, I think to me, soccer, one of the best sports to be able to hedge on aside from the NBA.
Well, because the action is slower. You don't see 2 goals in a minute, right? So it gives you opportunities to make bets. The NBA.
I did when I had Atletico Madrid over the weekend, and they put up 2 goals in about 60 seconds.
Yeah, but you know the pace and flow of the game lets you think about it and lets you able to make these bets on these sites that have a constant running number.
Yeah, absolutely. Something to pay attention to as the games are progressing, and especially if you see a style of play being employed, you think it's going to be a slower paced game. Doesn't always materialize that way, as Atletico Madrid kept on scoring the other day in that matchup on Sunday. But so we'll get into a little bit more of the plays a little later on when we come back. But next, we're going to go into the NBA. A couple of terrific matchups to discuss, and we'll go into those next. Welcome back into the Nuts. Looking at the NBA right now, Mike, a game on that has the Phoenix Suns as a road favorite tonight, taking on the Philadelphia 76ers. They're -3.5 on the road. And first thing you know is that we've got some injury concerns when it comes to the Philadelphia 76ers.
Well, it must be for Phoenix to be almost a 4-point yeah. favorite on the road.
Well, that's the big thing. You know, yeah. When you look at this matchup right now, when you look at Philadelphia, the first thing you're always looking at, who's out, who's in. And obviously we see the fact that you're going to have Joel Embiid out due to rest. Tobias Harris missed the last game, he's going to miss. And, of course, Ben Simmons is going to be a game-time decision here. To me, I just don't understand when you're looking at it from Philly perspective why you're resting guys at this point in the season. You've got to make the stretch run. You've got to be able to get through it. You've got to get that number one seed in the Eastern Conference.
I mean, are New Jersey and Philadelphia going to mess around and let Milwaukee steal the one seed again?
Well, don't forget, they play Philly twice. They play Brooklyn twice as well. So something to pay attention to. Brooklyn, 0.5 game behind the Philadelphia 76ers right now. Milwaukee, 4 games back. Still with an opportunity to be able to make up that ground despite only 15 mm-hmm. games remaining.
Because of the head-to-heads, you're right. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. When you handicap this game, Amal, do you put anything to the fact that they won a tough game in Milwaukee still on the road off a victory there for Phoenix? And in other words, downgrading their chances a little bit tonight after a big win on the road?
No, I actually think it upgrades it because okay. of the fact that they had a day's rest in between that overtime game. Philadelphia is looking at a decimated lineup. You have a chance if you're Phoenix, you sit there and say, hey, look, we can steal a game that may or may not have gone our way if all three of those guys are in the lineup. We're only a game and a half and a half a game back in the loss column against Utah. This is a great opportunity. Imagine if the Phoenix Suns were to get the one seed in the West. I don't think too many people have that. I know I did not. I mean, I wouldn't even have them in the top 7.
Well, has it ever happened before that a team that missed the playoffs 11 years in a row became a one seed? I mean, think about that. Talk about worst to first.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's a shocker. I don't know if they've ascended to this level, but the acquisition of Chris Paul has been tremendous. And, you know, we've talked about the MVP with Nikola Jokic, and rightfully so. I even mentioned Steph Curry yesterday. But what surprises me is that Chris Paul hasn't gotten a lot of pub for it, because when you look at the turnaround of the Phoenix Suns, there has to be strong consideration given. They are currently ahead of the Denver Nuggets now.
Here's what I see with Chris Paul. He's a stabilizing force, but they're so much better down the stretch of games. You keep expecting them, you know, to give up leads. You keep expecting them when they're dogs not to be able to finish. I just think he's that calming hand that makes them feel like they have the experience to win when they really don't.
Yeah, that's exactly. It'll be interesting to see young team. You look at their core. Booker, Bridges, and Ayton, obviously Chris Paul part of that, but he's an experienced guy. He's been around. These other guys would be their first foray into the postseason.
Interesting, 76ers haven't covered a home game in their last 5.
Yeah, this is a team that has been a little bit struggling in terms of ATS numbers, so something to take a look at in this matchup. And if you like Phoenix, I would say this. If you're going to take them now, but maybe take them on the money line, because it puts you in a situation where if you see the 76ers decide to play Ben Simmons, potentially, Joel Embiid is expected to be out, but he could be a game time decision.
Right. And Simmons, we don't know yet, but I would assume he'd be in if Embiid is out. But I also agree with this. I mean, you're looking at a money line of around 150, 155 here. If you like another game in the NBA, I think it's worth considering. Just tough on the road.
Yeah, absolutely right.
You see, you know, 4 and 5, those key numbers to cover down in the end. Are they going to foul? Are they not going to foul? You give up a layup at the end, and your game you're comfortably covering by 9 or 10, and they get inside the number with a 3-point loss.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go to one more game here. Obviously, the Boston Celtics must have the night off since they're not on our sheet. The Warriors and the Wizards, two leading scorers in the NBA. Bradley Beal, second leading scorer, and Steph Curry, who to me has just been tremendous, about as good as he's been in his MVP seasons, as they are a short favorite of -2 and -130 on the money line on the road in the nation's capital tonight, taking on the Washington Wizards. Total of 238.5. Mike, my first instinct is to play the over in this game.
I was going to ask you that. Would you be more interested in the total than the side here?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the game, in terms of the side, could go either way. I'd lean towards Golden State because they still have something to play for, a little bit more than Washington. But overall, I think this is a game where we see a high-scoring game. And listen, you make no mistake about it. Bradley Beal is going to want to show out tonight.
Absolutely. With Steph shooting 50% from beyond the arc, I mean, it's hard not to, you know, to keep them below 120, 125 in these games.
Well, this is the and to your point right now, when you look at it, teams don't play that much defense. This is a great opportunity for both teams to get into the 120s fairly comfortably. As we look at the MVP odds, Jokic -360, Joel Embiid +340, Steph Curry 17-1, and Giannis at 20-1 to go 3 in a row.
Dropping every day. I mean, he hits the charts 50-1, 35-1, 17. He'll be 8-1 tomorrow if he has a big game.
Well, you know, here's the other thing to keep in mind, and I'm not wishing an injury upon anybody, but if somebody were to get injured at this stage, you're looking at potentially, if they're out for the rest of the year, you're missing 20% of the season. That gives an MVP opportunity to someone else.
You'd have to have Jokic go down, I think, here, or they totally collapse in Denver down the stretch and go, you know, 3-12. I think it's his to lose.
I would agree with you there. I definitely think it's his to lose based on the numbers he's put up. We saw Russell Westbrook with triple-double numbers, and Jokic close to that could potentially get that. One other thing to keep in mind is where Denver winds up in the final seedings. When we come back, the Palm Reader's Playbook, which has been on fire.
Amal, who does coverage of the NFL draft better than VSiN? I mean, every single show focuses on the draft at this time right now. Not only Michael Lombardi, a former front office executive, Super Bowl winning GM. We've got Mike Pritchard on the network, first round draft pick out of Rancho High here in Las Vegas and questionable national championship with the Colorado Buffaloes. And how about on draft night itself on the first round? We'll have Lombardi, we'll have Pritchard, we'll have Gil Alexander, Hall of Fame broadcaster Brent Musburger will anchor the coverage here. I mean, who could want anything more than that? If you're interested in subscribing to VSiN, go to VSiN.com. Subscription rates as low as $22 a month. That's right, I said it, $22 a month. VSiN.com/subscribe.
Well, you asked me two questions. Are you going to allow me to answer them?
Well, after the read, Amal. You don't interrupt the read.
I thought it was part of it. I didn't know. Yeah. All right, let's get into the Palm Reader's Playbook. It's only going to take about 30 minutes. Bring your pen and paper. You might need two pens based on the number of plays he has.
I don't know. I have to look. There's so many plays. I have to get my tickets out. I mean, it's a Wednesday, so it's only 7 plays. I took a couple of dogs here in the two-unit plays today. I think the market is wrong on the Padres. It was wrong last night.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was wrong over the weekend when the Dodgers were just such short favorites against them, right? Especially on Saturday and Sunday, although they came back and won Sunday. I thought it was wrong last night when Burns was a dog to Paddock. And I think the Nelson Lamet cannot be a $2 favorite tonight. I'm not saying I think Milwaukee wins this game more than they lose it, but at +180, they wouldn't have to do that if you made that bet a lot of times. And then Mike Smith is zoned in. The Oilers have played 8 out of 9 to the under. The Canadiens 6 in a row first period unders. I'm going to go with the first period under again at a plus price here. We still see the odds makers stingy to put sixes on these games in the Northern Division. And it'll be Jake Allen probably instead of Price. But the way Smith is playing, I like this game under 6, and I like it under 1.5.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you on this Canadiens Oilers first period under. I want to go quickly back to that Brew Crew game against the San Diego Padres. Danilson Lamet has only thrown two and two-thirds innings in spring training. I don't understand how he could be this much of a prohibitive favorite without having gone extended amounts of time in terms of pitching. I don't expect him to be in the game that long.
Yeah, that's true. And when he is in midseason form, he goes, you know, 5 at tops, right? Yeah. He's a guy great through the first time. And about the 4th inning, that slider loses its bite. So I just think it's the right price. I got 180 this morning with them. Let's talk about our one-unit plays. The rest of them are all one-unit. I took Tottenham.
Yeah.
Tottenham today. The VAR just ruled it offsides. No goal for Sun. So we're still tied.
How much time's left?
75th minute. We're still tied right now with Southampton 1-1. Tottenham got behind in the first half. They tied it with a Bale goal in the 60th minute. We laid 115 there. I talked about the Real Madrid under 2.5, which is plus $1 here. Even money. Olivas and Villarreal. Also, Olivas, I laid under 2.5 as well here. That's the 135 unit also in La Liga. Olivas is really a team that doesn't score a lot of goals, and Villarreal has been very good on the defensive side of the ball. Game that's in progress, going to the bottom of the third, the Giants with Desclafani, who gave up 3 in the second against Eflin. Eflin's been clean so far. We've got that under 1.5. And then I couldn't decide how to play my Ada today. The Twins got shut out in a doubleheader yesterday. 7-0 and 1-0 by the A's. By the way, the A's started so bad, now they're rallying to look
on
good.
On fire.
They really are. Did I want to fade Maeda here today? This game was close to a pick. Or did I want to play under 4? I think Maeda will pitch well today. Quinn's not hitting the ball. Montes got a little bit back on the fastball. I decided to play it under 4. I couldn't decide which way to go. I thought maybe to take Maeda, but I ended up with the first 5 under. No shocker.
Yeah, I mean, got a lot of plays there. No shocker on that under there. You know, it's surprised to me that the total is 4.5 instead of 4 between these two guys on the mound. Mm-hmm. But day game in Oakland, just something to consider. The one play I have, Angels-Rangers over 8.5. Lost the game last night. Got to get back on track here. Been struggling the last couple of weeks, so hopefully get back. This game is now moved to 9. If you're going to play it, I'd still play it at 9 because over 8.5, going to 9, all it does is prevent a push. You're not going to get a loss in that situation, so I would still play that one over 9. It's just something to take a look at. Mike, before we bring in Stanford Steve in a few minutes on the other side of this break, I want to go to the Los Angeles Dodgers, off to a 14-4 start. And the MLB website had a great thing about the Dodgers' historic pace. They're on pace for 126 wins. I don't think they're going to go 126-36, but I think one thing to consider with the Dodgers is this team really has a chance to surpass that 116-win Mariners team in 2001 that didn't win the World Series. And then you look at, of course, in 98 Yankees that won 114 games as well.
Two interesting prop bets you could put up, Amal. Yeah. And if I knew a bookmaker, I'd tell them. how about with that record with the Mariners? How about over under 116.5 wins?
Yep.
And then how about, and I suggested this to Mitch and Paul because I believe in martingaling them, right? To just keep betting them until you cover the one unit. How about longest Dodgers losing streak this year, over under 3.5? I think those are both interesting bets that, I think if you made it 4.5, you'd get heavy action just to the under. They're not going to lose 5 in a row, especially with that rotation. You make the point in September. Is everybody motivated? Are they so far out ahead? Have they clinched a one seed? Are they really playing? But I make the argument in September, you might have 4 pitchers going for 20 wins. And to finish my point, how good has Urias been? We talked about outstanding pitchers. What, 11 strikeouts and 1 hit ball through 7 yesterday.
So you're saying on that loss total, you'd make it 3.5 or 4.5?
I would make it 3.5, meaning that
they got to lose.
They lose four in a row.
I remember a few years ago, probably about 6 years ago now, they were playing the Marlins in a 4-game set when Kershaw was in his prime.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember somebody was talking about doing that, and they were slaughter meat when they did that, martingaling the Dodgers, especially with Kershaw on the back end at about $2.75 to $3. And then Giancarlo Stanton hit a home run that still probably hasn't landed. They were serving drinks on that flight. And to me, I get where you're coming from with this Dodgers team, but I think in baseball, with the prices that the Dodgers are already laying, it's a bit precarious because with LA, if they're not at home, look, when you get them at home, they're going to be 2.25 in almost every game unless you're going up against Scherzer.
All right, so let's assume this. Let's just talk through the math of it. Let's assume they're a $2 favorite in every game.
Okay.
So you bet 200 to, let's say your unit's 100.
Yep.
The first game you bet 200 to win 100.
Uh-huh.
You lose 200.
Mm-hmm.
So the next game they're $2. You need to win 300 to win your 100 on your original bet.
Correct.
Right? So now you have to lay 600.
Correct.
They blow that game. Now you're down 800.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to win 900. If they're $2, you need to lay 1,800 to 30. It starts to get into big numbers if they lose 4 or 5 in a row.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't think they're probably going to lose 5 in a row. That's why I thought your number, I was asking you whether it was going to be 3.5 or 4.5. Yeah. I thought it was very interesting. To me, this team is going to be tremendous. You know, yesterday you look at it, you had the Dodgers. They get a 1-0 win. What a dominant pitching performance they get on the road. Now, the offense struggled a bit.
There was only 3 hits in that game.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, Dodgers get 2 hits and the Mariners get 1 hit. Incredible pitching. I think that's what makes this team so dangerous, right? When you see great teams, when you look at that Mariners team in 01, offensively, they were elite. Pitching-wise, they had good pitching that year, but I don't think they were elite pitchers. When you look at this Dodgers team, you've got Bauer Cy Young Award winner, Kershaw Cy Young Award winner, Walker Buehler, a potential to win one down the line. Julio Urias is a guy that can be very dangerous from that perspective. Tremendous bullpen outside of the closing situation with Kenley Jansen, but he was great yesterday.
Yeah, and your fifth is either May or Gonsolin probably, right?
Absolutely.
And you've traded away Ryu. You traded away Maeda. You traded away Stripling. I mean, you traded away three guys that are one or two starters for other teams right now.
Absolutely right. Something to pay attention to. When we come back, ESPN from the SBP show, Stanford Steve joins us next. With exclusive bets, daily specials, odds boost, and the largest offer of live in-play options, BetRivers Sportsbook is the industry leader when it comes to online sports betting. And to make your experience even more rewarding, BetRivers offers the most live streams of major sports, instant payouts, and only one-time playthroughs. BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. Offer valid in Colorado, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Virginia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Available at PlaySugarHouse.com in New Jersey. Must be 21. Gambling problem, Illinois, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Indiana, 1-800-9 with it. Colorado, 1-800-522-4700. Michigan, 1-800-270-7117. Virginia, 1-888-532-3500. In Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. We got Stanford Steve. I had to hurry up and get through it.
People are driving them all. Yeah, I mean, you don't want them to drive off the road.
Trust me, they're not calling that number if they're listening to us.
Welcome back into the Nuts. I'm Mike Palm. He's Amal Shaw. We're very glad to have Stanford Steve join the program. Of course, Stanford Steve and the Bear Podcast, one of the best podcasts around. You see him on SportsCenter on ESPN with Scott Van Pelt. Produces probably the second best segment on TV in Bad Beats behind Paulie Howard's Win Some, Lose Some. Welcome in, Steve.
Easy with those power rankings now, Mike. Come on now. Come on.
That's a Big Ten bias in that one.
Steve, let's talk about the
draft.
Yeah, SEC bias. Let's talk about the draft. And I want to talk about this interesting prop at DraftKings over under 5.5 quarterbacks in the first round. And you can still get plus close to $3 if you think that there'll be a sixth quarterback chosen. We know Lawrence, Jones, Fields, Lance, Wilson are probably going and probably early in the first round. What do you think about your guy, Davis Mills, out of Stanford? And does he have a shot to be the sixth quarterback in the first round?
I don't think so. The problem here is two things with that question, Mike. To me, the first round all goes based on how fast the wide receivers go. McShay was on Scott's podcast yesterday with us. He believes that four pass catchers are going to go in the top 10. So to me, what does that do to the quarterbacks? Is Lance still a part of that? Is Fields? And then what happens with the defensive players? Because Micah Parsons is out there. I think he's the best defensive football player in the draft. And now there's all this talk about, you know, off the field and, you know, what was he doing when he wasn't, when he sat out this year. So to me, there's a lot of if fans are about that as far as the defense, because when defense goes, there's going to be a run on that. There's no defensive tackles that are, maybe Barmore goes, but with Davis Mills, to me, is the problem with so many of these quarterbacks in this draft and what makes it so hard for the evaluation. There's not enough tape. With Davis, at least you saw him face a lot of adversity because he was mostly going with, you know, he didn't have Lawrence type weapons around him where he had the advantage at every single snap of the ball. You know what I mean? Every single one of Trevor Lawrence's guys, for the most part, in every game had an advantage against the guy that was guarding them. So to me, with Mills, at least you got to see him face some adversity, see how he, you know, moves when plays break down. But I would like to see more. I would have loved to see him back to Stanford. He's a former five-star recruit, had a torn ACL as a senior in high school, and then he tore again. I believe it was his sophomore year at Stanford. So to me, I don't think he will go in the first round. I think there's now this another part of this is I think guys are just tired of talking about the top guys, and they're just like, who else is there? You know, Kellen Mond, I heard his name thrown around recently about how his tape is a lot better, and there's ample amounts of tape to see what he has. And he did face adversity and grew a lot with the ball. But I don't think about that six of quarterbacks in the first round. I think that's a lot, and because of so many of these top guys are reach that high because of the lack of tape.
Mike, I agree with him on in terms of Davis Mills and also on Kellen Mond. Best 30-year-old quarterback in terms of I've seen holding the ball in the pocket, Steve. Nobody does a better job of going from right to left holding the ball with two hands. I am not a Kellen Mond fan.
Okay.
I just don't think he's progressed enough. I mean, you know, when you play at A&M for 9-10 years, you figure you'd get better.
Hey, Steve got better every year. They almost made the playoffs.
They have some dudes on those lines. That's the thing at A&M. Speaking of dudes, let's go to Alabama. Do they have a chance to tie the 2001 Miami Hurricanes with 6 first-round picks? We're looking at Mac Jones, the 2 receivers, Surtain. Those are probably top 15 picks, the 4 guys I mentioned.
Yep.
And Najee Harris, and you mentioned Christian Barrymore could be the wild card there. Are those 2 guys going to be first-round selections? Right now, total 5.5, shaded to the over at minus $2.
I'm going to say no, because there's also Landon Dickerson, I think, who could pop in, but he tore his ACL. Obviously, he missed the last. I think he missed the Notre Dame and the national championship game. I'm going to say under on that as it's presented to me.
We're talking with Stanford Steve. You can find him on Twitter at StanfordSteve82. Of course, SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt with our friend Chris Felica, Stanford Steve and the Bear the podcast. Steve, let's talk about what's been the most volatile market, which is who is San Francisco going to choose with the 3rd pick, right? We've seen this. I mean, there's some new news every day, and the number shifts. It was even both at even money between Fields and Jones yesterday, with Trey Lance down to 4-1. Zach Wilson still on the board at 25-1 if you think the Jets aren't going to pick him 2nd. If you're handicapping this race and Jones has moved now back to the favorite at 125, who do you think San Francisco's going with?
It's really hard, Mike. You talk to evaluators and who they would go with, and the Fields thing is picking up more steam because there's all this talk about guys who can extend plays and keep plays alive on 3rd down. All right. And I think, you know, you talk to people who look at Kyle Shanahan and see, you know, his days with Matt Ryan, how his lack of a mobility cost them in scoring situations. And then you talk to people that know Shanahan also, you know, that played for him or coached him, and they think he would just wants a facilitator. He thinks he has a player-built team. He just needs a guy to come in to distribute the ball, trust his decision-making, and get the ball out to the guys like Deebo Samuel, Ayuk, and all like that. And then that brings Mac Jones into the picture. I think I don't know. It's so hard because the Lance thing, I didn't see enough of him facing adversity. 17-0 to 1AA, like you could make the argument he had the advantage every snap of what guys he had around him when it pertains to his competition. I think it might be Mac Jones just because of what Mac Jones took on. I've heard Sarkisian talk about how he every week, and you talk to guys that looked at Mac Jones in pre-snap read, and he was off and gone with the guys. Now, he had the advantage of Devontae Smith and Waddle and those guys, so that made them look a lot better. But so did Tua, and so did Joe Burrow. I mean, Joe Burrow made the most of his opportunity of anybody. He has look at the receivers. He's gonna have multiple first-round guys that ended up being on that national championship team. So, to me, I think quarterback-wise, maybe Mac Jones, but with the money, with those odds, I would take a shot at Lance at 4-1. Why not?
Steve, to your point on this question, are you surprised that San Francisco is looking at a quarterback based on the fact that they're drafting 3rd? I get that, but they're built to win right now.
Yeah, but I think they're ceiling with Garoppolo. I think they need something that be able to, adjust the system a little bit, make it more multifaceted. So I think that the dynamic of another quarterback and Shanahan, you know, taking over the reins of a new person and teaching new concepts, I think that's what he needs and that's what he wants and that's what they need. I think they need a change of pace there.
I think that's a fair answer there. I'm going to switch gears a little bit here. Mike came up with two prop bets that I really like involving the Los Angeles Dodgers. The first one is over under 116.5 wins, and he set that bar because that's what the Mariners set in 2001 with the regular season record out of 162 games. Do you believe they can exceed that? And then Mike, over in terms of losing streak for the Dodgers, over under 3.5 on the year.
I'm going to say with the 116.5, I'll go under. Sure, they could do it, no doubt about it. But I think it's baseball. I think, you know, with the extended, you know, with the normal season, I think more things are going to happen. We see bets on the shelf a little bit. Those little dime injuries, I think, will catch up to you. They've been phenomenal. I watched every inning of that Padres-Dodgers series. It was incredible, the excitement in that stadium. And I would say I think they could lose four in a row at some point. I'm playing a numbers game there, but I mean, can a guy come up with two better numbers? Like, this guy, what does he do for a living? He needs to do this more often. Those are exceptional.
Well, we're trying to create interest in baseball again, Steve. We got about a minute and a half left, Steve. I want to talk about the running backs.
A
good prop. I think a good prop is who goes first. Who's the first running back taken? And will it be in the first round? I mean, there's two different backs, but both very valuable. Najee Harris, Travis Etienne.
Yeah, I love Etienne, man. I just love what he did staying. I mean, he could have left a couple years ago. Najee probably benefited more than anyone in this draft of coming back and playing another year. When you go back, look what he did this year and the situations that Sarkisian put him in and the ability he showed to be able to catch the ball and get in space. Which we saw, you know, LSU start doing with Edwards-Helaire the year before. You saw Bama do a lot of those things. I like Etienne more, but I think Najee is going to go sooner because I think he has a higher upside.
I like the points he makes there. I'm a little bit more in the Harris camp there. I like him as a running back. I think Etienne's a better receiver out of the backfield, but I like Najee as a bell cow. We'll see what happens there. Both of them are terrific, and I thought you summarized Najee Harris perfectly in terms of staying the additional year, Mike. I think that made a huge impact on him potentially being a top 30 to a top 45 pick, and good for him. He's had a rough background. If you've seen his bio, tremendous job for him, and I hope he has tremendous success at the next level. By the way, always does a terrific job on SVB. We always appreciate you coming on from the same high school class as Kellen Mond, Stanford Steve. We really appreciate that. And you can follow him on Twitter at StanfordSteve82. And if you can't spell it, don't even take the visitors tour at Stanford. And thank you so much for the time.
Thanks. I tell Goulet to change the clock. Too many hard outs.
Thanks, Stevie.
Thank you very much. He's always a lot of fun. Thanks to him.
Josh Tower's back tomorrow. We'll talk baseball.
Absolutely right. Can't wait to do that. That's going to do it for us on The Nuts here. Betting Across America is next with national champion from Colorado, Mike Pritchard.